Hello, my name is Father Boniface. I'm a Benedictine priest and monk of St. Vincent Archabbey in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, and it's such a pleasure to speak today with Bishop Michael Bullett, an auxiliary bishop of the Archdiocese of San Antonio. And Bishop Bullett is also the director of St. Peter on the Lake.
St. Peter upon the Water.
St. Peter upon the Water, which is a
Center for Spiritual Direction and Formation.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Bishop, can you share with us some principles of the spiritual life or some directions in the spiritual life? How can our listeners really grow in their relationship with God?
Well, if you'll permit me, I'd like to continue from where I left off with you the last time we did this.
You have an amazing memory.
Some time ago. And I want to expand on what I did using some of the language of Francis, our Holy Father, who has a definite plan in his mind about what the spiritual life looks like. And it's very consistent with of course, the scripture and our spiritual traditions, and clearly from what I have learned from my time as spiritual director in the seminary, it fits. And it's a journey image, which I find very helpful because I guess I'm sort of a linear thinker. I like to have some idea where I'm going, where I've been, and be able to look back and then look forward and so forth on the journey. I know that not all life is linear per se, but I really believe that it helps to have this sort of plan. And so the beginning of spiritual life is to ask the question, what is it do I want? What's my desire? Desire is everything. Desire creates passion. It creates energy inside of ourselves. Mm. If we find ourselves having no desire for anything, we're really not going to go anywhere, and we're probably going to have a very sad life. But desire is exceedingly important. Now, unfortunately, most of the world desires things. Mm. It desires money or pleasure or wealth or power, some sorts of things. But the beginning of everything that's good for believers is a desire for God, desire to fill the emptiness, a desire, maybe I'm not even able to articulate it perfectly, but I want more, a desire for the more than I am. And it's really a place there by God. It's written on our soul that we long for him. And to uncover that and to not think that desire is for something else, but rather for God. It sort of reminds me of St. Paul when he was on the road to Damascus. He had real passion. Unfortunately, his passion was for God, but it was a misunderstanding of what God wanted for him. And so what he discovered on the road to Damascus is that there was something else that God wanted. Mm. And so then, as Francis talks about it, the next sort of stage or part of the process is an encounter. Encounter is it's a real powerful word, especially in Spanish, encuentro. It's a real powerful word because it always implies that when, as I am meeting you here or now reading your listeners, that somehow I have become part of their life and they have become part of mine. You have become part of my life. I have become part of yours. We know each other in some small sense of that word, you know, having encountered each other just a couple of times. But encounter, when Paul encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus, he asked the question, who are you? Mm. Encounter is about discovering who are you? And Jesus answers, I'm Jesus, the one you are persecuting. When Paul was persecuting the church, he didn't think he was persecuting God, but he came to a realization that he was. So encounter is about learning more about the person who Jesus is. Mm. And that's the beginning of this wonderful place of the spiritual life. It's exceedingly important that we know who it is that we are worshiping. Who is it in this Eucharistic event? Who is this in the sacramental life of the church? Who is this who calls me on my way? So the spiritual life requires that we spend some time with the Word of God and in the sacramental life of the church, where we encounter him as he describes himself to us. The four Gospels are so important, the Acts of the Apostles, so important for us in our understanding of who it is that we're longing for, because we're told he is the image of God himself. And therefore, when we see Jesus, we see God. It makes it clear to us. So it's something that's tangible for us. It's not just a bunch of ideas. It's a flesh and blood incarnation of the reality of God. Go ahead.
So I'm hearing, Bishop, we have desire, and sometimes our desires get so scattered and directed toward things that don't satisfy them. But to gather that desire and to realize that's a desire for God, and then to bring that to an encounter with him, and one primary place to do that is in the scriptures. And is there a particular way that we can read the scriptures so as to encounter him?
Well, first of all, the daily liturgy is a great place to start. There's all kinds of little books out there that have all the readings for the days, the readings for the day. And although the readings for the Sunday Mass, the weekday and Sunday Masses, do not encompass all of the Scripture, they really do give us a solid taste of it, and do a great deal about in showing us all four of the Gospels during the course of the 3-year cycle. So it's a good place to start. But even if you don't have that, I mean, just to pick up the Scripture, pick up the New Testament, begin and read the story. It's a wonderful thing. Because then we're going to find out the next part of the journey is to be accompanied. That's another of Francis's favorite words, to be accompanied on our journey. To recognize that in the life of Paul on the road to Damascus, he couldn't do it alone. He had to be helped up from the ground, as it were. They had to show him the way, and then he had to be given a godfather, Ananias, reluctant as Ananias was, but somebody needed to accompany him. Or the disciples on the road to Emmaus, the same experience. They're leaving Jerusalem in sadness, but they encounter the real Christ on the journey. And then he accompanies them. He opens to them. They're talking about the New Testament, all that happened in Jerusalem. He shows them the Old Testament, all the things that point there to the Messiah, to him, and to his life. And that experience, they ask a question. Stay with us. Stay with us. It's the longing of us all to have him there with us. And so that accompaniment, both in Paul's life and in the life of those people, was the idea of accompaniment is to move to conversion. It's not just to walk with folks, having God walk with us, and then this model is also the way we walk with others. It's not merely to walk with them. It's to walk with them where they are, yes, but to lead them even more deeply into the mystery of God, into the beauty of God and his goodness. And so we see that accompaniment leads to conversion, to a changing of our hearts and our minds, so that in fact what we long for is the will of God. And so we place our passion and our energy to do the will of God, which then leads us to that final place that Francis is talking about, that the Scripture talks about, and that is become missionary disciples. That in fact we are both, first of all, clearly disciples, ready to learn from the one we have been walking with, but also missionary, that we have been sent to tell the world of this good news, and it so longs for it right now. It doesn't even know it longs for it, but it does long for it. A lot of the conversations that we're having here with the bishops is about how dealing with the reality of unbelief in our country, and trying to allow ourselves to be empowered by the Spirit to become even more missionary. If indeed the bishops are the successors of the apostles, then the word apostle means one sent. We are sent, and we're looking forward to allowing all of the baptized to see that they are sent to bring good news to the world. So Francis has given us a great biblical journey that is utterly consistent with the life of the holy men and women that I see in the Scripture.
Desire, encounter, accompany
to conversion, and the missionary discipleship.
Mission. And precisely what we share on mission
is what we have experienced. What we share on mission is all that we have known. We share our dis-ease in the beginning, the joy and passion of the encounter, the intense learning. The accompaniment is kind of the catechetical piece, you know, where we get informed about the one who we have met, and then allow ourselves to be formed by what we hear and see, the witness of the one who we met on the road, and now we have something to share.
And certainly even the phrase missionary disciple implies the discipling, the accompanying continues, the conversion continues.
That's right. It's a beautiful thing. It's a journey thing, and then we can go back and check ourselves. Okay, where am I? Okay, maybe I've lost some of the fire, so I'll go back and say, you know, do I still desire this one? You know, so let me re-encounter him. You know, I'm going to increase some things in my life. I'm going to read the Word every day, and not just occasionally on Sunday or something like that. I'm going to do more than just go to Mass on Sunday. I'm going to listen to the journey of the Blessed Mother, the wonderful journey, and she fits this completely. Her desire is to do God's will. She waits to hear the voice. She encounters the angel, and the will of God. She is changed by it. Literally becoming pregnant by the Holy Spirit, and then runs to Elizabeth to announce the good news, and with joy and thanksgiving.
Beautiful. Yeah. What a beautiful template. And I think the ongoing conversion of St. Paul, we see some of this too, while the initial shift, massive shift from persecuting the church to becoming part of the church. But then even in his apostolic journeys, there's an ongoing conversion.
Ongoing conversation, that's correct. He's getting closer and closer. Do you know, it looks like when you read the scripture that he spent about 14 years in formation before he went out and, founded churches. You know, after his baptismal experience that's recorded in Acts, that he says, in the letter of Galatians, he indicates it's been about 14 years in formation before he went out and encountered the world. That's edifying to someone like me who spent a very long time in the seminary.
And trying to convince seminarians that they need to spend a long time in the seminary.
And then I did that too, right, exactly. And then when I came in the faculty, the same thing. So, yes. Anyway, it's good.
So a good starting point is for us to be aware of those desires.
Absolutely, yes. If I have seen, you know, I'm sure it's a truism, but you know, certainly it's my experience that people go for what they want. They spend their time where they want. I tell people when I'm doing missions and so forth that, give me your checkbook and give me your schedule, and I'll tell you what you really believe.
Wow, that's awesome.
Where you spend your time and where you spend your money is exactly what you believe. Don't tell me what you believe. Show what we do with our time, what we do with our finances, that tells us what we really believe.
Well, there's a great examination of conscience.
Yeah, that's very simple. It's very simple. Don't need a lot of books. You know, just need your schedule. Just need your deal. And it so much grows out of, you know, what happens in the church is exceedingly important, but what happens in the home is equally important. You know, when we see the sacredness of our dining room table and the people around it, then we can start learning something about the Eucharist. When we jump for joy at each new pregnancy and each new life, then we can understand something about the beauty of baptism. You know, it's just connecting them to the human cycle. We can understand something about the importance of the sacrament of the sick when we honor suffering in our families and embrace it as part of life, and when we see death as a transition and not an annihilation, as the world sees it, simply an annihilation. We see it as a transition. And when we see the beauty of having a vocation which flows from our baptism, every single person has a vocation, a call from God to do something for his kingdom. Sometimes it's religious life or the priesthood. Sometimes it's marriage. Sometimes it's the beauty of a single life. unconsecrated, as it were, but consecrated nonetheless by baptism to a chastity and to a dedication to God and the freedom that one has to engage and encounter other people when one is single. So there are many, all of these sacramental events tie us into our human condition and sanctify, as it were, the human journey.
And I think that's such an important point to bring out, because it's so easy to think that our spiritual life is something else. It's a little room that we go into to find some peace, and then we carry on with reality and real life. But they're so intimately connected. We bring our regular life into our spiritual life. We bring our spiritual life into our regular life. They're really united.
That's great. How's things at the monastery? Everything's going well?
Very well.
Okay, great. Great. I didn't realize you had 160 monks. It's amazing.
We're the largest Benedictine monastery in the world.
Man, that's amazing. That's just beautiful. That's beautiful.
Hopefully trying to live out this spiritual life in a way that can also
Ausculta
be a witness to
Israel.
Others.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord God is one. Mm. You know. And the beginning of the Rule of Benedict, Ascolto Filii,
yes.
Listen, my children.
You're well read.
My significant formation was from a Benedictine monk. I had a Benedictine monk who was my director for 25 years, and he brought the beauty of the scripture and the beauty of the rule to me, and changed my life. Assisted me to be a joyful, welcoming priest instead of merely one who is a priest out of duty and mere response to God's call.
He accompanied you through that conversion.
He absolutely did. Absolutely did. Yeah, I owe a bunch to the rule. I pay attention to it a lot. So.
Well, Bishop Boulat, thank you so much for taking the time, for your wisdom, for your teaching, and for your ongoing ministry and forming spiritual directors to be able to share these treasures in addition to all of the other wonderful pastoral things that you do in the Archdiocese of
San Antonio.
Yeah,
we're finishing our fourth cycle. We have 45 men and women, lay and religious, who will be called to become spiritual directors. And I think June is our finishing, and then we've already started lining up the next group, cycle 5, to begin in September of 2018.
Fantastic.
So, yeah.
May you bear abundant fruit.
Amen.
Could you give us a little blessing as we conclude?
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
And may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit come upon you, Father Boniface, and all of your listeners, and particularly all of the folks in your monastery, through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Thank you so much.